Hi, this is Dr. Diane Hyman, publisher of Natural Nutmeg Magazine and the soon-to-be-released book, Essential Remedies for Women's Health, which is a collaboration of 12 local natural health practitioners in Connecticut. And I have with me today Erica Dworkin. She is a certified lifestyle educator and a nutrition consultant at the Manchester Parkhead Health Shop, which is her family's nutrition center that has been serving its community since 1956. She is currently earning board certification in holistic nutrition from the National Association of Nutritional Professionals. Michael Dworkin, a Connecticut certified clinical nutritionist and registered pharmacist with a doctorate in pharmacy, has mentored Erica in nutrition throughout her life, and she regularly contributes nutrition articles to Natural Nutmeg Magazine and lives a healthy, gluten- and dairy-free, candida-conscious lifestyle. She's going to be talking to us today about a very important topic, which is candidiasis, and we've got some great questions to ask her, and hopefully she can help us understand this a little bit better. So welcome, Erica. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you, and thanks for having me.
Sure, no problem. So your chapter was great because I think it's this issue is something that a lot of women have and probably has gone undiagnosed for so many years, and they may not even really realize what it is, and there's so many like signs and symptoms. I'm sure that we could probably spend the entire day talking about this, or weeks. But we're going to try... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we're gonna try and get in as much as we can, you know, cover in the next 45 minutes or so. And, you know, certainly you are a wealth of information on this topic, and, you know, I'm sure we can educate a lot of people. So maybe we should start. One of the first questions I was going to ask you is why is candidiasis so damaging? But after I looked back and thought about that, maybe we might want to just back up a little bit and explain what it is, because I think some people might not have heard the word, or they've heard the word, they're not really sure what exactly it is.
Sure. Well, indeed, we could talk about this for hours, and I do it often with the people that I try to help with this. Instead of candidiasis, which is quite a mouthful, I'm going to refer to this as candida related complex, or just simply CRC, because I think that'll be easier for people to follow. So CRC is a term that, by Dr. Warren Levin, it stands for Candida Related Complex, and basically it's an infiltration of bad bacteria in the gut. It's an overgrowth of bad bacteria in the gut that becomes systemic and leaches out into the intestines and into the entire system and takes over the body, basically. And I know you have other questions that kind of expand on this, so I won't get into the details, but basically Dr. Levin cites it as an imbalance that candida interferes with the immune system. It's the key to an imbalanced immune system, and it severely complicates all healing and dramatically contributes to many of the complaints that doctors hear in their offices. So about this, because my father died, again, Michael Dworkin, he's a state-certified clinical nutritionist with a doctorate in pharmacy, with his credentials as far as we know in this state. And he diagnosed me with this over 20 years ago. And it interferes with the entire, with the person's entire well-being. And it comes from again, as I said, 70 to 80 in the form of trillions of protea. So candida is that by the destruction of the balance of the gut flora and it imbalances the body itself by killing healthy bacteria. And it it's known to result in a host of immune-deficient degenerative diseases. This includes cancer, diabetes, heart disease. My father has treated people with autoimmune disease that have had this problem. I mean, it's a rampant underlying cause of severe states of obesity. I don't know if I already said, I think I already said diabetes. Yeah. And the autoimmune diseases in MS, lupus, Hashimoto's disease, and so it's a very widespread problem that is generally not really taken seriously by conventional practitioners, and that is not my evaluation of current medical practice. That comes from the leaders in CRC theory.
Mm-hmm. Well, you certainly just elaborate a lot, I think, on why my next question was, which is why it's so damaging. But is there anything else that you wanted to get into related to that?
Yes. There are. So, really, there are three things. One, which I already mentioned, which is that it causes so many. It's an underlying cause of so many problems, so many states of disease. The second point with this is that the reason this develops, the reason the problems develop was theorized by Dr. Orion Truss. He's the original person who came out with this whole CRC. He didn't call it CRC at the time, but he pioneered the theory. And what he said was really fascinating to me. He said that the production of toxic acetaldehyde, which has been identified by the government as a probably cancerous chemical. That was identified by the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And so it's a probably cancerous chemical produced by the yeast. And again, yeast, the candidiasis, I think I said, is an overgrowth of yeast, which is a fungus. And so this fungus produces acetaldehyde and alcohol. And acetaldehyde is the damaging substance that is produced when someone actually drinks alcohol. So it produces, there's an elevated blood level, and that results in a sense of drunkenness, fatigue, nausea. Basically feels like a hangover. So a lot of times people will feel like they're hungover and they don't really know what it's from. They know they haven't had any alcohol, but perhaps they've eaten the wrong foods, or of course having eaten the wrong foods, which we'll get into later, when you have CRC and you eat the wrong foods, you can produce this effect. And then the third key thing to know about candidiasis, the damaging impact of it, is that it frequently causes leaky gut syndrome. Now, leaky gut syndrome is basically microscopic perforations in the gut that cause the leaching out of normally harmless substances that should be getting processed through the gut, through the intestines, but they leak out, and the immune cells in the blood think that these are foreign substances, and they attack them. And this creates what we normally refer to as allergic response. And so that in essence is the real problem with this. It interferes with CRC interferes with normal, healthy living through the production of acetaldehyde and alcohol, and causes numerous states of disease and leaky gut syndrome. So that about summarizes it, I think.
Yeah. And there's actually, we had a great call a few weeks ago on gut disorder, so Eileen Comillo went into a lot of detail about leaky gut syndrome, too, in case people are more interested in that. So what are some of the testing methods that you would use to determine the diagnosis?
Well, this is, This is an interesting question, because as I said, most conventional practitioners do not recognize CRC, and it's because the testing that's available does not differentiate regular candida or regular growth of yeast, which we normally have in our bodies, from CRC. So in other words, CRC is an exacerbated condition of a normal state, which is the existence of yeast. So really, the best testing isn't a test at all, and we'll get into that, but basically there are signs and symptoms. When you look at signs and symptoms in medical history, current signs and symptoms, in other words, what somebody is actually experiencing in their health today, and their medical history, that's really the best test. But if an individual wants an objective test, if they don't want to jump into this, and they want to see in writing that they have candidiasis, Dr. Levin identified a number of tests. One is that he seems to favor is, and by the way, I never had any of these tests. My father diagnosed me, I jumped into the diet, I felt better, and that's how I proceeded. But, so it's possible to do that. But there's something called an organic acid test, or OAT test, O-A-T, and it's a urine test, and there's a lab, Great Plains Lab, that does this test, and it uncovers the toxic waste that comes from candida. The next is a comprehensive stool analysis. But the problem with that is that the yeast may have penetrated the body so much that it doesn't appear in the stool. Just like a person can have systemic candidiasis, or what we're calling CRC, and they don't have vaginitis. Mm-hmm. So that these two tests and the other two tests I'll mention are basically, maybe the OAT test that's probably the most reliable, but these really aren't reliable. They can get false negatives quite often. The next is a skin tissue and secretion culture, and then something called a PCR. It actually identifies the DNA of candida from a blood, stool, or urine specimen. But again, if it's throughout, it just may not show up. So right. Really, the best test, which is really not a test at all, is to look at a person's medical history and signs and symptoms, and if they coincide, then it's worthwhile to start the program and see which we'll talk about. Start the Candida or CRC program and see if a person begins to feel better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which would make sense, obviously. And we're going to talk a lot about, we'll talk about signs and symptoms next and then your holistic treatments, but I just want to mention to people that your chapter is so in-depth and informative. I don't think we're going to even touch on a lot of the things today. I would really encourage people to obviously buy the book or contact you, because there's pages and pages of references that you have to what you should eat, what you shouldn't eat, what the signs and symptoms are. So, we'll try to get to as many as you can, but I would encourage people to get the book for sure.
It can be very, very overwhelming to people. In fact, I would venture to say every single patient, including me, that my father has ever treated with this condition has felt overwhelmed by what is required to deal with, because it takes a tremendous amount of discipline, but I can say right up front, it's well worth it. I recaptured my life by listening to my father's diagnosis, in other words, in terms of accepting it and living the program, which I still live.
Right, yeah. And honestly, I mean, just looking through some of the dietary recommendations, it wouldn't hurt everyone to do some of these things that you recommend for sure. And I think people can start out with small steps. And, at some point, you got to just make a priority. And if you've been feeling, you know, terrible for years or however long, then I think people, it might be overwhelming at first, but I think people will eventually realize that it's something they have to, you know, they have to be disciplined about and take responsibility for sure.
Right. Well, the coaching that I do as a nutrition consultant in our store involves helping people, as you say, take small steps. So I usually will encourage someone to just start with the food. Just adapt to the food changes, and then that alone can be body altering, can be health altering. And then they can step in and do the supplements. And that when I present that tends to take some of the stress away from it. And some people just want to plunge in because they want to get it over with. You know, they've been sick for so long that they feel that they found an answer. Yep. They want to plunge in. And by the way, that's actually the best test of all. That is self-diagnosis. When we, as you mentioned, you know, there's a lot of information in my chapter. I gleaned from all my resources, all the information and put it in a nice tidy package for an individual to figure out whether they think candida is their problem. Mm-hmm. And that's really where it has to start. The individual has to accept the diagnosis because I know this firsthand. If you resist it, it's going to persist, and that's true for life. Anything you resist, you persist. So that's, you know, I know you want to ask me some questions about what's in the chapter, but that's, you know, these charts that I have are really the best test, and they're the best collection of information that I have been able to put together from all of my sources. Because a lot of the information out there I think the chapter that I put together is the most cohesive, tightest approach, that because everything else out there is just kind of, it's a little random and it's a little hard it's a little hard to digest. I keep saying the word digest. I don't mean it as a pun, but it really is kind of hard to digest.
Right. No, it's true. And I think when people look through the chapter, they'll understand what you mean for sure. You know, there are so many facets to it. It's really difficult to kind of cull it down into something that, you know, the average person can really utilize and determine if it's something they think they have, and then, you know, use the recommendations that you have. So let's talk about some of the signs and symptoms. And again, there's a lot of those as well. So maybe just hit on the ones that you think are, I don't know if I want to say more important, but or maybe that you think people should be looking for more so than others.
Okay. I'll just go through the ones that I see most commonly, and in our customers in the store, and that my father has seen, and that I experienced myself. One thing is a lot of muscle pains and headaches and fibromyalgia, which is really a nondescript label for. It's a label that doesn't tell you that much about aching symptoms. In other words, it doesn't give you an avenue for healing. So, but if that's one of the things that I really experienced extensively were these horrible muscle spasms and headaches, including sinus headaches. Hypoglycemia, which is low blood sugar, or diabetes, which is high blood sugar. Brain fog. Huge. Brain fog is just it's the toxins, the acid, aldehyde, and the alcohol from the yeast as they digest the foods that feed them, which we'll get into. It pollutes the brain. Energy challenges are huge. Chronic fatigue, lethargy, just general drowsiness like throughout the day. Back to the brain issue. One symptom that I came across that I thought was fascinating is autism. I had never really realized that autism can have CRC as an underlying cause. So I think a lot of people out there might find that pretty interesting. Digestive ailments are huge. Any kind of digestive ailment, I'll just put it at that, and especially anything chronic, IBS, IBD, Crohn's, and celiac, which is actually an autoimmune condition, and depression, any kind of emotional swings, even bipolar disorder, which, you know, that's, I know from personal interaction with someone with bipolar disorder, it can destroy one's whole life. So if anyone has bipolar disorder, it's certainly worth looking at candida, I think, and allergies, any kind of allergies, and we'll talk about specific ones in connection with the diet. But I think that those are really the main ones. Acne is another one. That you know, it's very common, and people don't realize that when they take these antibiotics, we haven't talked about what causes the overgrowth of the yeast. But one of the things is repeated or prolonged use of antibiotics. And what a lot of people don't realize is as they take the antibiotics to resolve their acne, they're exacerbating or creating a yeast problem. And then that's causing more acne. So it's a vicious cycle.
Yep. Do you find that people exhibit multiple of these symptoms, or it could be, you know, as simple as just one or two of them?
In my experience, people generally have multiple issues. And it's the more issues there are, I think this is fairly obvious, the more issues there are, the more serious it is.
Right.
I've had people come in with just horrible rashes that nobody can explain. And that they may have candidiasis, but it just may not, it may be something that if they don't have any other symptoms that they may be able to clear up pretty easily. It won't take the 8 to 18 months that, they might be able to resolve it in 5 months if they're really strict, or it may take them on the low side of a period of, you know, 8 months.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly I see people with multiple symptoms, and they don't realize that they're all related. They don't realize that their arthritis is related to their female problems. You know, they have vaginitis and they have arthritis and why would anybody put those together?
Exactly, right.
Why would anybody think of that?
Yep.
Unless they know about this.
Right, yeah. So let's talk about your recommendation for the holistic treatment of CRC.
Okay. So...
maybe start out with, I think, you know, like there's diet, there's supplements, there's lifestyle factors, so maybe if you want to start with diet or...
Sure. Well, you just summarized it very well, so we don't need to do that. Thank you.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll start. Again, this can take hours to talk about, but this interview is really intended to just give people a sampling. Basically there are permitted foods and not prohibited foods. Okay? And I'll start just by saying that all the foods consumed by someone with CRC should be as pristine as possible, meaning organic. And I realize this is very difficult for a lot of people. As soon as they hear organic, they get, you know, they're they already can't cope. But ideally,
right.
organic, non-GMO, non-processed, and not overly refrigerated. In other words, refrigerated and discarded after 24 hours or frozen. So that aside, we'll just, I'll just mention some of the prohibitions, and then I'll mention some of the permitted foods. So prohibited foods include anything fermented, anything moldy, pickled, so that includes vinegar. However, people can have, someone diagnosed with CRC can have raw apple cider vinegar, and they can have a certain tea that eliminates or that suppresses the growth of yeast. No sugar at all, but there are sweeteners that can be used. There are tea sweeteners that can be used. No dairy whatsoever. No dairy, no gluten. And saturated fat needs to come out of the diet. I already mentioned sugar. That includes high sugar fruits. There are certain foods that can be eaten in moderation. Anything starchy, no caffeine. I think that sums it up. I mean, there are many, many details to this, but that's the idea with the prohibited foods. Is that they are taken out of the diet because they feed yeast. These are the foods that yeast thrive on. So the idea is you want to starve the yeast. You want to replace the good bacteria, and you want to kill the yeast with supplements. The supplements have a lot of different functions. But you starve the yeast by not giving it the foods that it enjoys. Foods that are allowed basically are low saturated fat proteins, so chicken, fish, turkey, and vegetables. Most vegetables, there are a few that should not be consumed because they're too starchy. As far as grains go, there are certain grains that can be eaten in extreme moderation. And one thing I should say this program is that everybody's different, but it's best to start out with the greatest amount of elimination as possible. And in other words, hit it really hard, and then over time, with a practitioner's guidance, start it. Foods to see if you can handle them. If a person, quote, cheats by ingesting foods that feed the yeast, then it's just the whole protein is going to be prolonged, and they're just going to be even more miserable. And I know this from firsthand experience because I fought it on and off. I mean, I went kicking and screaming into this program. And the other thing, too, is that this program gets easier, both the food aspect of it, the dietary aspect, and the supplement aspect, gets easier as an individual starts to see that she is feeling better. There's nothing better. My grandmother always said, nothing succeeds like success.
Right.
No, once you start to feel better and you really own this, you more internalize this diagnosis, it'll be easier. Your cravings go away. Your cravings, a lot of people, I forgot to mention cravings for starches and sugars. That's a huge one. And those start to go away once the digestive system gets healed.
Mm-hmm. One quick question I had, is it possible in the very beginning of doing this that someone might actually feel a little bit worse because the yeast is starting to die off, or?
Absolutely.
Okay.
No,
so I point that out so people don't get discouraged because, you know, I can easily see there's someone saying, so I've been doing this diet for 2 weeks and I feel worse.
Say that again?
I can easily see someone saying, well, I've this is supposed to be healthy for me, and I've been doing this for a week or two or whatever, and I'm feeling worse.
Yes, yes. And it happens. I won't say it always happens, but there's probably a 50-50 chance that it will happen. there's a condition, there's a effect called Herxheimer's, I think it's called Herxheimer's syndrome, or effect. And what that is the yeast, which are living organisms, get angry because you're starving them with the diet and you're trying to kill them with supplements. So it's actually called Herxheimer's reaction. And they get angry, and so not only can they aggravate, they give out more toxins, they're getting pushed out and killed, pushed around and killed. They can either exacerbate your current symptoms or they can even create new symptoms. So someone might say, well, I had this rash and I had that, and I had some issues, but I didn't have brain fog. My brain was working fine, and so all of a sudden, you know, I have headaches and I have brain fog. That tends to go away. Everybody's different, but it can go away after, depending on what the onset is, but it can go away after, say, a week or so of staying on the, you know, once it's onset, it's basically you have to push through it. And know that, you know, jumping into this and not knowing about DIOP is much worse than knowing about it and knowing that it might be, feeling worse might be coming, but that you push through it. And many of my father's patients I've heard them say, well, I pushed through it, I dealt with it, and now I'm in the clear, I'm world set. So, it can also happen from killing the yeast off too fast. And I address that in my chapter. A practitioner wants to guide a patient slowly through this and really pay attention. I encourage people to keep a log, a reaction log, or a symptom log, so that they can go back to the practitioner and say, you know, look, I think this is causing this, and this is how I'm feeling worse, because there can be so many symptoms that develop.
Right. Yeah. So let's move on and talk about some of the supplements that you recommend.
Okay. So again, you. I want to be clear that my quote recommendations they come from years and years of research, mainly clinical research. These are not my recommendations. These are tried and true approaches. So this is a tried and true approach based on my father's practice of over two decades. And information from experts in this field, the pioneers in this field. So I'll just start with the categories. There are supplements to kill the yeast and heal the digestive system, supplements to support the immune system, supplements to support the adrenal glands and reduce stress, others to guard against die-off and exposure to toxins. And very often sleep is interfered with, so there may be some supplements that are indicated for better sleep. Now, the first thing to note about all of these is that not everybody needs everything. But generally speaking, these are the problems that come up. In other words, there are digestive problems, there are immune challenges, there is adrenal fatigue and other adrenal challenges and so forth. So the first category, what is my chart? Like two, it's, I don't know, it's like five pages, I think. couple of things. Diane?
Erica? Yeah, I'm still here. I was waiting for you to call back in.
Sorry, I got cut off. I'm not sure where I got cut off. What was the last thing that you heard?
The last thing that I heard was you were just starting to get into the different supplement categories. But I think the recording stopped if you dropped off. So I'm just trying to... I think what I'm going to do is just start a new one, and we'll just have to piece them together.
Okay.
Okay, hold on just a second.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, no, that's okay.